You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Tonight on Entrepreneurship Wednesday, we're not just interviewing a guest. We are honoring a quiet storm. Kentsani Mabunda is not loud, but she is loud enough. Not flashy, but her work, it demands your attention. She is the mind and muscle behind KW Creatives, a boutique agency that doesn't just build brands, but reimagines them, breathes new life into them, and positions them where power meets purpose. Kentsani is a master of the pivot. In an era where the rules are being rewritten by the minute, she doesn't flinch. She flexes. When most entrepreneurs are scrambling to stay relevant, Kentsani is already building her next iteration. She understands that legacy is not built in noise, but built in motion. She's deliberate, strategic, and unstoppable. Her ability to network is a case study in access and alignment. She doesn't just meet people. She moves them, builds with them, opens doors and worlds with them. And make no mistake, when the world finally catches up to what she is doing, it's going to be a revelation. So tonight, sit up, lean in, take notes, because we're about to be schooled by a woman who's building her empire brick by intentional brick. Kentsani, girl, hello.
Girl. What an introduction.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm even feeling better now after that introduction.
Oh, I love it. Listen, you and I are about to chop it down, but I don't want people to get left behind. So tell everybody who you are, why we are interviewing you on Entrepreneurship Wednesday. Is this how your journey started? Who is Kentsani Mabunda of KW Creatives?
Well, I'm Kentsani Wanda Mabunda. People normally ask where KW Creatives comes from.
Yeah.
So I just want to say it. My name is Kentsani Wanda. Mm-hmm. I was blessed by my dad to name me Wanda after his name, Wonderful. So that's where KW Creatives or KW comes from. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I am the founder and CEO of KW Creatives.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah.
We are marketing, media, an advertising agency. Mm-hmm. We are based in Johannesburg, but I say we are Africa's next best agency.
Oh, because that's right.
Yeah, I know, that is right. That is right. So normally people ask us what we do, mm-hmm. and I say at heart I'm a strategist,
yeah,
and I'm a creative. Mm-hmm. So my dad actually wanted me to become a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
So my dream really was to become a lawyer, and I studied become law, mm-hmm. in the pursuit of that. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out so great, but life happens.
Yeah.
What I learned from it, though, from a few experiences that I had working in the space, was that I was destined for something much bigger.
Yes.
I ended up in my last job at Adams & Adams working for the trademarks department. Mm. And that's where my love for brand development started. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to do something much more bigger than just, you know, look at brands and say, oh, that's amazing. BMW is doing that. Okay, great. You know, but anyone who knows me and knows my childhood really knows that I've always loved media. I always loved entertainment.
Yeah.
So I don't think it shocks anyone that I'm doing work behind the scenes in media. If anything, I always said I wanted to own my own radio station one day.
Okay. Okay.
And started pursuing that really. I think in 2016, I started a podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we ended up on Metro FM, but it was one of those things that I got excited about because I knew at that point in time that my dreams were valid.
Mm.
So I think it was More Flavor and Lerato Khanyago in the time had an hour where they invited, you know, aspiring presenters to come join them for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to have been doing that with a friend of mine at the time. So I approached them and said, listen, I'm already doing this by myself. I have this podcast. And I really would like an opportunity. And they gave us the opportunity. I remember we were super excited and we held the show down for an hour, really.
Mm.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But my love for media, not only did start there, I, as a child, always was excited about doing anything that had to do with entertainment.
Yeah.
I have so many stories. Yeah, so I think that is where the birth really for the passion of marketing and media started.
Mm, you know, I often say that our childhood always gives us clues. So, you know, I work with professionals, right? So we're just like, I want to know what my purpose is and how I can align it to profession. I'm always like, what is your childhood telling you? What are the clues you've left behind there? Because I remember as well, I was the kid who stood in front of the TV and was dancing and singing for my family. I was presenting to them and they would say, yo, the only time we hear quiet in this house is when you are sleeping. Even you, you never stop talking until you're sleeping. And look at where we are now. Look at where we are now. And you know, I'm happy that you're not just positioning KW Creators as a just as a branding agency, right? Because it really does feel like a movement. And I do want to ask you then, when you first started, what problem were you obsessed with solving? Has that changed? Has it deepened over the years?
So interesting question, because when I started, really, it was more talent management.
Yes. In fact, that's how we met, right?
That's how we met.
Yes.
You should know this. Yeah. Because you, at the time, were trying to also find yourself in terms of what is it that you are trying to do with the journey that you were taking. For me, when I started, it was mainly that, but the problem that I think I was trying to solve at that time was becoming a manager for talent, because I thought there's a lot of issues in terms of, you know, managing artists, managing talent. So I thought at the time it would be great for me to come in with sort of like my expertise, also coming from a background where I've worked with quite a few people and also have worked on brands that are as big as like BMW as an example, right? And I've seen how, you know, the brand development part is so important and understanding how IP works as well. So maybe that's the problem that I was trying to solve, but really I don't think I managed to solve that problem, because within 8 to about 9 months, as I was trying and pursuing, I realized that I this is not what I actually wanted to do. So this is when I made the decision to restructure. So going into the second year of my business, I already started to think, well, how can I change my offering to something that I would like to do? I do not think that the issue was the fact that I went into the business. I thought the issue was the service that I was providing was not exactly what I wanted. So maybe then the problem then I thought I was going to solve was going in as an agency, working with big brands, and trying to put them out there without understanding, I think, for me, what God's purpose for my life was at that point in time. Because the work that we ended up landing on that has created so much impact and shifted the direction of the kind of clients that we work with at KW Creatives really was behind social impact. And I realized once I started doing that work that this is the problem that we're trying to solve. We are trying to come in as an agency into these bigger organizations and saying to them, yes, you can sell me water, but when you sell me water, what kind of impact are you making to the community at large? How are you teaching the community how to also create their own water brands, for example. So I realized that my work had a lot of social impact, and that's what drove me every single day to wake up and to keep looking for opportunities that allowed us to bring in that form of impact into the communities.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that you're mentioning that pivot, because I think you and I had a conversation Nyana about this, right? When I was also like, I don't know if the way I'm doing things is quite sustainable, right? And so let's dwell on this pivoting your business model, because this is something you've done and it worked out. It survived. You survived. And so I'm wondering, what signals does one need to look out for that tell them that it's time to make that shift? And how do they even move without losing momentum or money, if that is even possible?
Yeah. Maybe I may not have the best advice on this. But one thing that I say is that I've never stayed in a job for more than 2 years. I've also never really stayed in, only at KW Creators have I ever felt so fulfilled to know that this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. But at that time when I made that decision, because I always do a reflection on my life.
Yeah.
And I think at the time when I was reflecting, I was thinking, will this take me where I want to go? And that reflection was so important, because then I get to see, where am I now? Where is this going?
Yep.
Right. So sometimes it means I will quit something, you know, sometimes I will upset some people, because then I make decisions based on the fact that I'm not entirely happy with where I am right now. And I want to try improve that and maybe try something new, completely different, completely out of my comfort zone that I have never maybe tried. But I will allow myself to go through that process, even if it fails. I mean, there have been times where I've made decisions like that and things have failed.
Yeah.
But I think it's always a self-introspection that I always take. And I do this on a yearly basis and say, okay, where am I now? Where do I want to go? I don't think I'm ever comfortable. And I don't think I'll ever be comfortable, no matter what the success is. And this is not looking at it on a greed perspective, where you're just like, oh, I've become a billionaire now. Can I just rest? It's how do I impact my life and also impact other people's lives? And that reflection always allows me to say, okay, this is where I am now. What do I need to do to get to where I want to go? And where I want to go may not necessarily be monetary value in this case. In that time when I made that decision, it was, I need to start doing what I kept saying I will do. I had back and forth fights with my dad about my career, you know. So when he passed away, it hit me that I hadn't done what I kept saying I want to do with my life. And every time he's like, why aren't you going back to finish your law? I'm like, no, that's not what I want to do with my life, you know. But I think I hadn't showed him exactly what it was. And I'd like to believe that right now, because of that reflection that I made in 2021, he's looking down on my life and saying, I get it. I understand you now. And I believe that part of why certain things happen for me is the blessing that comes with him understanding that this is what I wanted to do. And now I've like physically shown what I wanted to do with my life. So overall, it's self-reflection. Like that's why I say, maybe not the best advice, but quit as soon as you can and jump onto the next thing.
No, and this is perfect, right? So I do want us to talk about quitting, because I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, we try and try and try and try. And sometimes it's okay, but how many times will I try before I get the picture that this is not the thing to do? And so when I think about quitting, I don't know if there's a measure or a marker I don't know what it is, but could there be something that speaks to us and signals to us about when it is actually time to quit and when we need to hold on to something because it's just not yet time for it to mature? Do you have any counsel or any thoughts around that idea?
So we need to also think about when we quit, are we quitting because we are scared and we are not being resilient? Because quitting is not always a good idea in that sense. It's we try as entrepreneurs because we need to make sure that we get to where we want to go, right? You're not going to have success overnight. There's no such thing, right? I look at brands such as Netflix when they say they've taken over 10 years to make profit, all these things, but they still exist, you know. We need to understand that we need to be true to ourselves.
Yeah.
You can never quit your purpose.
Oh, yo, Kenzani.
So you can quit the job.
Yo.
The job that's not taking you to your purpose.
And I just need to comment on that. Because the number of times I've said I'm walking away from my business. Every time I try to leave, I don't even know. So I need you to actually like really highlight and emphasize that idea of you cannot. It's impossible to quit on your purpose.
Yeah. So that's what drives you. That's what's going to make you go as far as you possibly can. No matter how tough it is, when you have purpose and you know why, your why is so important. You will know that at this point in time, I knew at that point in time where I was not where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Because of the things that I wanted to do in my life, right? So that's driven by the purpose. So I could have maybe went and worked for another agency, right? And gotten a bit of insight of what it's like, what's going on there. And I really do think if that was the case, I probably would not have pursued opening my own agency. The stories that I hear in agencies actually are quite alarming, right? So I think if I took that direction, maybe I wouldn't have, you know, opened my own business at the end of the day. I think what's driven with passion for me is the point of I had to become an entrepreneur. But entrepreneurship had to start in something that is close to my heart, something that I love and enjoy doing, something that I'm also really, really good at. I'm just a natural creative. You could tell me, oh, this is what I think of doing today, and I probably will have an idea. That's the crazy thing about me, is that I always have ideas and ways on how we can go about it. But for me, I think the bigger purpose was entrepreneurship. Regardless, I was going to end up in business. I was going to be a businesswoman. I was going to also impact lives through business.
I love that. And speaking of pivoting, right, and making the decision to actually be true to yourself, what is the hardest pivot you had to make? One that either saved the business or almost killed it. Talk us through that battlefield.
Wow, leadership.
Aha.
We don't talk about leadership.
No.
We honestly don't talk about leadership. And we also don't talk about how we need to be equipped to be leaders. We don't talk about how we need to also get the skills to become leaders. We also don't talk about what kind of leaders we want to be. And when I say what kind of leaders we want to be, it's not me looking at Mpumi and say, oh, that's what Mpumi is doing, so that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Remember that you are your person in your own right, and how you lead may be different from the next person.
For sure.
Right? But I do think there are leadership skills and leadership mentorship that we should consider taking before we get to a point of now you're running an entire team and you're leading this team.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the important things. It's one of the things that I tell everyone, that entrepreneurship to me is more like people management. You are managing the people you work with, and you're managing your clients, your customers on
and
a daily
yourself.
Basis. You need to have a heart for people.
Yeah.
If you do not have the heart for people, it just, you cannot manage these two things. You also cannot manage conflict. You cannot manage difficulty, and you will not be able to pull yourself out of it. So, and to pull yourself out of it, like I say, we do need the support. We do need mentorship. We do need those skills that we can learn. Learning is also important in this case, because sometimes as a leader, you think you are doing things right. Auntie, when you know, in other people's eyes, it's actually wrong.
You are horrific. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that is one of the biggest challenges that I faced. And one of the challenges that I would say, as you grow as an entrepreneur and you start bringing people in, before you even get to that point, equip yourself with leadership skills.
And now that we're speaking on leadership and team building, I want to know, when did you realize that actually trying to do this on my own, trying to be a MacGyver, a survivor, is not going to cut it? And I'm asking this because I think there's always that tension when you start something, right? You're so precious about it. You want to keep it, and people won't understand my vision. But also in hoarding the vision, you realize that you're holding yourself back. And so what was the very first hire you made, and what made you realize that I need help, I'm tripping?
So you will always need people. That's what I always thought. I've never imagined ever working by myself, so I never saw myself as a solo entrepreneur. So even when I started from day one, I thought I need people to partner with. I think I remember I did a social media post and I said I need like freelancers that do PR, like different things, right? Already my mindset was that I can't do this by myself. And I just really believe in that, because I do think that really there's enough for everyone, you know. I think I started getting freelancers to work with. And as soon as I got an opportunity to actually service a bigger client that allowed me to pay salaries, I didn't even think about it. It was immediately in my head. So that was the first thing that I did. And I also got interns as well to sort of understand where I'm going with this thing, because right now I'm talking about something where you're just working alone most of the time, and then you have people that can assist you with some work. And then now you have to sit down and say, what is the structure of the business? Who do I need, and what do I need them for? So I immediately did that. I think in 2023, I sat down and I said, these are the people that I need. And I started getting and hiring people. But for me, it was not, I'm going to do this thing alone from the get-go. I knew I was going to hire people. This is why KW is not just KW, it's KW Creatives. So Creatives stands for the other creatives. So whether it's people that I partner with, whether it's people who become our suppliers, or whether it's my own team, I just knew I would always work with people. So it was not a me thing.
I caught what you said earlier about how initially you had to hire freelancers because I guess that is what you could afford. But then once you started working with a client that allowed you to pay salaries, you then established a team. Kensani, I want us to talk about having the right business model, because a lot of entrepreneurs really quit on their businesses, or they just give up on this whole thing because, not that they didn't have a great idea, not that they weren't necessary in society, but because they just had the wrong business model. So can you talk to us about finding out what the right business model is, what it looks like practically, and how it can really save you and make you money all at the same time?
That's a good question. And I think we don't think about the business model per se. I think for me, it was, I now identified what my offering was. And I had not yet identified exactly who my client is. Now, if you ask me who my client is, I will be able to tell you. But falling into an industry that I did not expect to be in, I think sort of created the business model for KW Creatives, as much as we are an agency, right? Somehow we fumbled into the energy space, and through that, it sort of gave me an idea of the kind of people I would need in my team. As much as we are an agency, like I say, trying to figure out what actually works for us as a business to service that specific client and those and also clients in that industry sort of shaped us to understand what our business model was and who we offering the service to. And because of that, you find that our agency is tailored probably so different in how we do our work compared to other agencies just because of our clientele. So I think just identifying opportunity when it comes and how you can then structure your business, looking at that opportunity and say, okay, do I want to be here? And if I want to be here, that means my business needs to be like this. So a good example is when we started with this client, we had marketing and media, right? But we then grew into advertising as well. Right. Initially, advertising wasn't really part of my service offering. But again, with advertising, it wasn't a service that I can say we know and we've been doing this. So I had to think about what kind of partnerships do I need to have. So I approached one of the biggest advertising agencies in the country and I said, listen, this is what we want to do. Is there a way that we can form this partnership? Because this advertising forms now part of my business model. Right. So I think just looking at the business itself, your offering, and what kind of client do you want to service? So then you can tailor your business model with that kind of offering and clientele.
You know, you said so many things that I want to touch on, because so much of what you said was so profound. So, and we're going to get to the collaboration piece, because, girl, if there's one thing about you, you don't believe in being a lonesome ranger. You really believe in the power of collaboration. And it's expanded you. It's expanded you, right? And I'm saying this because I've done the opposites. And my, oh my. My, oh my. Now, when I think about business model, a couple of things come to mind. And you touched on them very, very, very beautifully. The first one being, know who you are serving. Like, be clear. Very clear on who your client is. Is it a corporation? Is it mothers? You can't be every corporation, because corporations do different things, right? Who is the person you are serving? And once you are clear on that, knowing them really well, you would have not stepped into advertising if you weren't attuned or inclined to the needs of that client. You knew that, okay, advertising is what will move the dial here, and this is what I need to introduce. So that's the first thing. Who are your people, and how well do you know them? Because if you don't know them well enough, you will miss on so many opportunities, not just to make their lives better, but to also expand you and increase you as a business owner. And then you touched on collaboration. The whole idea of, I don't know it, so I'm not going to do it. I don't even think that exists in your vocabulary, because You went to an organization that has done this, that, and you know, some people might be ashamed to go there because they are competition. What are they going to say? But I gather that you found it very useful and very informative to actually get that information from them. So that collaboration, not doing things on your own, because you cannot know everything.
Absolutely not. And just to what you said, I don't have a marketing, media, or advertising degree. Let's start there.
Okay.
So if I came into it and said, oh, because I am not qualified, I don't have the degree to do this, then there's no way that I can actually run an agency. I wouldn't be here today. My thing was, from the get-go, was I want to have this agency. I can hire the people who have the qualifications, right? I'm naturally like a creative. I don't need the degree, really. It can just, you know, upskill me, right? But I know what I'm capable of doing. But for me to learn from people in who are already in the space, for me to collaborate with people who are already in the space. And collaboration can sound amazing, but it's actually not as great because you deal with people. So sometimes you're collaborating with, you know, a specific person and you're saying, let's do this thing. And then you realize that your values are not aligned. Your purpose is not aligned. And then you start clashing. And that ruins whatever that you wanted to achieve. But I realized that collaboration with bigger organizations are actually great because they already are working like that.
They've got the systems.
They've got the system. Everything is in place. So, for example, when I approach this big advertising agency, they say, "Oh, yeah, you want to do that? We do that. Actually, this is how we go about it." You know, but you wouldn't know if you would sit on the side and say, "Oh, no, it's impossible." So I think the best thing that I can say about collaboration is do your research. Also research people. I know, but do your research, because that's something that I think earlier on I was very naive to say, "Yeah, we're excited. We want to work together," but you don't realize who you want to work with and if your purpose and your values are aligned. And when I say values, that is so important. Because there's no way you can collaborate with someone who doesn't understand you and you don't understand them and how they do things. That's when the conflict starts. And that ruins business.
And the conflict is not because the other person may be wrong and you may be right. It's just there's differing views.
It's different views. And like that's why I say values. Because the minute you realize, okay, we have the same values, then our views are similar. We may maybe not disagree on specific things or, you know, but chances are most of the time you'll be on the same page about how you do business or how you do life also, just because your values are aligned. But when it comes to bigger businesses and organizations that you may think, oh, they might be my competitor, approach them. The best thing that I do, and people ask, how do you connect with people? How do you, at such a young age, and also your company has been running for so little time, how do you get these partnerships? And I say that's because I approach people. I will literally send an email and say, I want to have a meeting. You don't know me, but I want to have a meeting. Sometimes, or even on social media, I approach people. Like, I've always been someone who approached people, and I come in and say, this is what I want to do. If there's a potential partnership, in this case, yes, let's do it. How does it look like is also important. Because also as a smaller business, you might find yourself approaching a bigger organization and say, I want to work with you. And they say, oh, that's a smart idea she has. Maybe let's take advantage of it. There are those kind of issues. So what does it look like? And also be careful of how you approach them, because you're not going there to open up your entire door and say, this is what I want to do.
And this is how I'm doing it.
No. You have to be very strategic. Because they're bigger than you doesn't mean they're better than you. At that point in time, because they're bigger than you doesn't mean they're better than you. You could actually be coming in with something much more bigger that will make them even faster billionaires, because they have the money to actually implement it. You know, we hear a lot of issues with, you know, smaller businesses being, you know, stripped of their creativity and their IP by bigger businesses because they stole, or maybe someone who came up with an idea. Example of Vodacom, if we can mention it, but I mean, it's public knowledge. But things like that do happen. So if you find yourself in a position where you're approaching businesses that are much bigger than you, approach it strategically. Approach it strategically, see what opportunity is there for you to work with them, but don't throw everything, because you could be better.
Yeah.
And you could be holding on to something that is much bigger. Mm. And they can just take that that idea and run with it. And you know it's your idea.
Yeah. Kenzani, you are affirming so much, I can imagine, in so many people right now. Because earlier you spoke about how, and it's on the area of, on entrepreneurship, that you don't have the qualification as the world sees the qualification. You are naturally creative. And you could have gone into an agency that would absorb you and use your creativity there, but instead you started your own thing. You know, up until this conversation, I had never seen entrepreneurship as an avenue to actually be yourself, to be radical in your view of the world, and to actually build something that you see but the world doesn't yet see, that they will catch up to later down the pipe. You know, the world always laws, hey, you need to be qualified. These are the... These are the qualifications you need and the experience you need to come into this organization and do this or whatever. And a lot of people then get scared. They get scared to jump. They get scared to make the decision because, yeah, I know that I can do this with my eyes closed, or that you can just ask me now and I've got the answer for you. But according to world standards, I'm not qualified. And so you just said, yeah, sure, maybe you're not, and no other container will absorb you. Maybe start your thing. And I think what you've just shared with us now is exactly how we can begin, right? Recognizing that there are people who are already doing something similar or in the vicinity of what you want to do. Leverage their resources, leverage their experience, leverage their systems, but come with your idea because it is valuable.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we're saying this now, I'm just like, I love practicality. I love leaving a conversation with something to hold on to and something to be able to do. So you kept emphasizing, approach these organizations or these brands strategically, strategically. What is the strategy? And I want you to get as surgical and as pedantic as, don't say this in that first email. Say this instead. That is how disgustingly detailed I'd like you to get. How do we approach these collaboration and these requests for partnerships and even proposing our services with people who have room for us to work with them or even could benefit from the idea that God has planted in us?
Yeah, that's a good one also. Before I go into it, God qualifies the unqualified.
This is so true.
You in this case, need the armor of God to qualify you in order for you to do what you need to do. Mm. I'm not saying that you can be a doctor overnight. But what I'm saying is you could maybe, you know, open a clinic and hire doctors. You don't need to be, you know.
You see your brain.
You could own a clinic and not, or a hospital and not actually be a qualified doctor.
Yeah.
Don't quote me. Maybe that might be wrong, but what I'm saying is you can hire the professional.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop you from pursuing. And if you do need that qualification, because there are some professions where I cannot run a law firm without being admitted as an attorney, or, you know, in those cases, then you need to fight hard to finish that degree. You need to fight hard to make sure that you get the qualification, the licenses for you to be able to do that, because we're not committing fraud here.
Yeah. but even with that, Kenzani, I'm just thinking, if your skill is networking, right, or just somehow being able to garner business, and you love the law, the truth is you can literally be the go-between. You get the laws, the deals. So there's really, as long as the purpose is clear, there's always a workaround.
Find a way. Yeah. There is a way. Find a way. And if your way is you have to go to school and have the specific degree and finish, you need to. And I always say, even entrepreneurs, look at upskilling yourself all the time. Education is so important.
Mm.
I can't even speak about how much education is important.
It's major.
I'm one person who believes in, like, I will literally teach myself everything and anything.
Yeah.
And I just want to go back to your question before I completely forget what you asked me. But when it comes to approaching, my approach has always been different. One, you spoke about networking, is I do go to events.
You certainly do.
I go to a lot of events. I intentionally attend events with the approach of who is there, who can I approach for business, right? Obviously, if you're going to go to an event, do have a business card.
Love it.
Because you can give that person a business card and then you start the communication. Because it's different when you send an email to Umpumi when you met her and you had a conversation.
This is true. There's already camaraderie.
Conference. Exactly, because they can remember you, they can recognize you. Right.
Can the business card be LinkedIn? Can you just say, let's connect on LinkedIn? I'll send you that DM right now.
Yes.
Fantastic.
You know, life is so digital these days. You know, your business card, LinkedIn can be, you know, simple. You now have that option. I always say, like, even the physical business cards for me, I feel like it's a waste of money at this point because we take them and we throw them somewhere.
Honestly.
And you now will not find it. You know? But if you connect with people, the first thing that I do at an event, whoever is speaking, I go on LinkedIn, I follow them and connect with them. That's the first thing that I do.
Yeah.
Number two, obviously, what am I doing right now? So a good example is I just recently launched Access Africa, which is a KW Creatives brand, right? And it's focused on helping the youth in entrepreneurship. So whether it's business support, whether it's helping them in marketing specifically so that they can be able to sell their business or just also developing their brands, advertising it, that's what we want to do. And also just trying to pull the youth from unemployment to say start your businesses so you're able, you know, government is not here to help you. You can shout as you like every single day about how the government is not providing jobs, but you also can start a business today and you never know, maybe in a year or 2 years you'll be able to not only, you know, pay yourself but also pay other people. And that's job creation. I truly believe that job creation comes from entrepreneurship.
This is true.
So in that case, it's making sure that you also know why you're there. So the reason why I'm giving you this example, met a gentleman last year. He was part of a panel discussion, and I said, I need to talk to him because he will help me get this thing going, right? So then I approached him after that session. Got his contact details, and then we started like having meetings, right? But remember, now by the time I have the meeting or the time I set up a meeting or send an email and do a proper introduction, you've already had a conversation with me, and you know, okay, what to expect, right? Another thing is not just LinkedIn. People are busy, so take their numbers. Insist on taking their personal numbers so you can text them on WhatsApp. When you send them that email, you can say, oh, by the way, hi, I sent you an email on this and this and that.
I'm making notes because I need this.
And I know that some people may not like, you know, giving away their personal number, but I really find that most of the time, if you just approach and say, give me your number, it's weird. But I mean, after a conversation, don't go in there guns blazing already wanting contact details. Have a conversation. Introduce yourself.
Yes.
What you do. How you think you can connect with them and how you want to work with them. That's important because by the time you then start asking for, even sometimes you don't even have to ask. They just say, here are my numbers. Text me on WhatsApp now so I can have your number, you know. So introducing yourself is so important. By now, the time you approach them with an email to say, this is what I'm doing, they already know and remember you. And it's important to be remembered, so important to be remembered. There are a lot of people that are approached at events.
This is
and
true.
If they are speaking, whatever, the keynote speakers, the panelists, they're approached by so many people.
Yeah.
But you must make sure that you are remembered. You show up. You show up looking good. You guys know this. I always post this on on my social media to say that you always need to look good.
Yeah.
You need to look presentable.
Yes.
Right? You need to make sure that when I say I am the CEO of KW Creators, when
they
I walk into the
CEO.
Room, I look like the CEO of KW Creators.
Yes. Yes.
And mind you, I look young. Sometimes people are like, okay, so what do you, are you the manager? I'm like, actually, I'm the founder.
I'm
They're
the
like,
founder.
What? You're so young.
Yeah.
Right? And that's because I go into rooms, like I said, our clients are mostly in the energy space. So, I mean, the age group is quite older. When they say CEO, they're talking about people that are much older, right? People do not expect me to be the CEO, right, in that space. So how do I become noticeable? How do I also make sure that when they look at me and they say, you are young, but they can see that I... She looks young, but she knows what she's doing.
Yes.
She knows what she's talking about. If we give her a project to work on, she will do the work.
Yeah.
Sometimes you may not even know, but because how you show up is so important, people are ready to have a conversation. They're ready to also take it up and say, okay, I remember her. If you set up a meeting, they feel... People's time is so important.
Mm.
But if you set up a meeting and say, can we have a call? They'll be like, okay, let's have that meeting. And I can tell you probably 90% of the time that has worked for me. In terms of approaching, just approaching directly, not the greatest, but it does also work. I'm saying do not stop. But my best strategy really is the events. Go to the events, pick up which events have your clients and who you can go and approach there. If they say there's the CEO of MTN and I need to talk to the CEO of MTN, I'm going to that event.
Yeah.
Because chances of me talking to the CEO of MTN or the PA or anyone from MTN who can get me closer to the CEO are very high.
Yes.
So I will go there and I'll be seen and I'll be recognized. So when I say I'm sending that email, they will remember me.
This is so golden. This is so golden. And we're out of time, but I cannot let you go without asking you this question. When it's time for the world to finally catch up with your brilliance, what do you want them to say about Kensani, Wanda, Mabunda, and KW Creatives?
Oh, one day I think the president will say that I am the reason unemployment has decreased
Kensani.
By over 30%. Like I said, I'm so passionate about entrepreneurship and helping entrepreneurs grow. I think that's actually a bigger purpose than just running my business. And there's so much work that I'm doing around that this year that I'm yet to announce and you will see. But my goal is that the impact that I make will reduce unemployment. We need to have more young people starting businesses. We need to have more young people becoming millionaires and billionaires because we are capable.
We are
truly capable.
Yeah.
We need to have more young people or more people getting out of the toxicness of corporate and starting their own things as well. We also need to have, we need to inspire our children. We need to grow this world and this country that we live in. The younger people that are coming up need to be inspired. My niece always says, I want to be a businesswoman just like Auntie Kim. That's what I want. And we need to inspire them.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we reduce whatever poverty we have in this country. And even larger, Africa as a whole. And I think my purpose more than anything is exactly that. So if I can wake up 10 years from now and the president says, because of Kensani's drive and philanthropy and in youth entrepreneurship, 30% of unemployment in South Africa has gone down.
You know what is giving me goosebumps with what you're saying?
Yeah.
So I listened to the Clement Magnatella show in the morning.
I follow Nosi Paul Chabalala. I follow Tami Kadimeng. And I'm mentioning these three people because on several occasions or different occasions, I've seen the president call Tami Kadimeng, "Oh, my baby," and embrace her. I've heard the president say to Nosi Paul Chabalala, "Listen, I'm taking you everywhere I go because I want you to be the MC and to introduce me." Just recently at the symposium, the infrastructure symposium, we saw the president and Clement Manyathela shake hands. I mean, they went to the Oval Office together. And what's giving me goosebumps with what you're saying is I'm seeing it happen for people I know. I mean, I've spoken to Tami, I've spoken to Nosi. These are people I interact with. And the idea that this thing does happen already instills the confidence in me that the next hand I will see the president shake, the next conversation I'll hear the president say with another person that I know will be you. And that gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Ah, Kensani, thank you.
Thank you so much, Bumi.
And I want to thank you for specific things, right? Because it's clear you didn't come here to play. It really shows. You came to build. And you're building with integrity. You are building with intelligence and undeniable impact. And it is so beautiful to see. And I think for everyone who's at home, that silent builder that's listening tonight, that's listening on the radio, on TikTok, everywhere we are, and they're thinking that they're left behind or they're missing out or they're alone, the truth is you're not. And we've got people in the form of Kensani who are saying, "I'm not going to leave you behind. Come. Here's what we need to do and here's how you can do it." Women like you build empires without having to announce. Because we just see the empire rise. Aibo, Kensan. And that's what I love about you. You are building silently, but it's so deliberate. And that's why I keep saying, when the world wakes up to who you are, who you've always been, they will be shook. And they will appreciate the work you did in the background and the work you did when no one was watching and the tears you cried and the joys you celebrated without people even realizing and knowing. They will be blessed indeed. It will be a sincere revelation. And I really believe that you are rising. I know you're nominated for an award. And I'm so excited to see it come to pass. I was so excited to see it unfold. So here's to the day the world sees you. And here's to the fact that I saw you first.
Yes.
Where can people find you? How can they interact with you?
Well, I'm on all social media platforms. KW Creators is on Instagram, Facebook. We are on TikTok and on LinkedIn. Personally, I am on Instagram. I am on LinkedIn as well. Follow me on LinkedIn. If you want the tea, follow me on LinkedIn. Apparently, I'm a LinkedIn celebrity at this point because I'm always posting there.
Yeah.
So follow me on LinkedIn. Outside of that, you can also follow Access Africa if you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Between your business has been running between 1 to 3 years, definitely follow access.africa on all social media platforms, and also visit our website access.africa .com. So that platform really is tailored for entrepreneurs. If you want more information, we'll be able to share it with you. But if you follow our social media platforms, you'll be able to see who we're working with, what's coming up. We have a masterclass coming up on the 27th of June. And it's focusing on powering business growth. So we've partnered with a few big organizations to make sure
that. Of course you have.
Yes, of course we have, because you know partnership. Yes. And you, again, with everyone there, if you see those brands, I met people who work for those brands at events and I approached them.
Kensani, I'm coming. So, I don't care what you say. I'm already there. I'm already coming. Oh, I love it so much. I love you. Thank you for chatting with us.
Thank you so much, Bumi.
Cheers. That's it, everybody. That is Business Sense Entrepreneurship Edition for the last week of May. I can't wait to engage with you again tomorrow for the last show of this week. I am Nompumele Lombonane, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.